Please rise for the reading of God's word. Today's scripture reading comes from Isaiah 36, verses 4 through 9. The field commander said to them, "Tell Hezekiah, this is what the great king, the king of Assyria, says. On what are you basing this confidence of yours? You say you have counsel and might for war, but you speak only empty words. On whom are you depending that you rebel against me? Look, I know you are depending on Egypt, that splintered reed of a staff, which pierces the hand of anyone who leans on it. Such is Pharaoh, king of Egypt, to all who depend on him. But if you say to me, 'We are depending on the Lord our God,' isn't he the one whose high places and altars Hezekiah removed, saying to Judah and Jerusalem, 'You must worship before this altar'? Come now, make a bargain with my master, the king of Assyria. I will give you 2,000 horses if you can put riders on them. How then can you repulse one officer of the least of my master's officials, even though you are depending on Egypt for chariots and horsemen?" This is the word of the Lord. You may be seated.
Good morning, church. Good to see everybody here back worshiping. When I was younger, we get our news, like most of us, from newspaper. But if you don't want to spend 50 cents buying a newspaper, you can watch the TV news at 6 o'clock. Or, of course, you can listen to the radio for the news. But now, obviously, things has greatly changed. People don't buy newspaper anymore. I don't know about you. And I don't think people even watch the news on TV because of the way until 6 o'clock or 11 o'clock to suit the TV's timing. Most of us will get our news or information from our cell phone. Everybody has a cell phone. No matter where you go, and on the bus, you see people using their cell phone. And one time I was waiting in line in a restaurant on a Sunday afternoon, and I saw a father and a son eating in the restaurant, and I was standing behind them for about 10 minutes, 15 minutes, waiting for my seat, and they did not talk for 50 minutes. They all watching their own cell phone and facing the other way, eating and I guess watching the news or something. So today we have a lot of noise, voice from the media. We don't need to go to buy a newspaper. But a lot of this voice, teachings, instructions are not necessarily true. Most of the time they are actually biased. And my knee has some pain, so I look through the internet and see, go to YouTube. And then there are hundreds of self-claimed doctors, you know, teaching you how you can turn around, heal your knee, you know, only do 1 minute a day, you know, do 10 days, and then you'll be healed. They all have different methods. So we get a lot of noise from around us. We're being bombarded by all this noise, voices. That's why my topic this morning is loud voices. And some of these voices are really loud. And it is difficult sometimes for us, especially when it comes to news. You have to be careful which station of the news. So when I read news on the media, I always have to check which station it is from, or even from an unknown source. Most of them are biased one way or the other. And there was a survey did not too long ago, about this year's federal election. And 75% of the Canadians think that they have been some way misled by the media on the election. So we have to be careful. Just because somebody's voice is louder, maybe except the pastor, the loudest one here this morning. Just because the voice is louder on that side, in that camp, doesn't mean that it is the truth. Unfortunately, especially for us Christians, we are very often the silent majority, isn't it? And unfortunately, the society very often is followed, led by a small group of people, a small group of interest groups, because they have the loudest voice. So today we look at Isaiah 36. And it is an interesting chapter, because throughout the chapter, we don't hear the word of God. We only hear this loud mouth, Rashakat, talking and talking and talking. He is a good talker, I have to agree. If we can convert him into a Christian, he'll be a good evangelist. He's a good talker. He's shouting. He must be shouting. How do I know that he's shouting? Because in those days, you don't have PA systems. No, for the people to be able to hear him, no, outside the castle, outside the walls, he must be shouting. He shouts through the entire chapter 36. So it is a very loud voice. And he is, I have to agree that he is a good talker. Verse 1. Now in the 14th year of King Hezekiah, Sennacherib, king of Assyria, came up against all the fortified cities of Judah and seized them. So the enemies are outside. And this representative from the Assyria, Rabshakeh, he came and then started shouting. He stood right by the conduit of the water. And as you know, the water is the lifeline to any castles. No matter how strong the castles, there has to be water to flow in. So he's standing right next to the source of the water, the conduit of the water. That means I'm controlling your lifeline. I can block off the water, then you will have no water to drink. You will die. So he is standing there and shouting. He's trying to shake up. It's a psychological warfare. He didn't do anything. Throughout chapter 36, he didn't do a thing. He was just talking. But even talking is enough to scare the people on the other side of the wall. And we read this morning, the Rabshakeh said to them, "Say now to Hezekiah, that says the great king, the king of Syria, what is this confidence that you have? So who are you relying on? Your counsel and strength for the war are only empty words. Now on whom do you rely?" The very first thing that the enemy does is to shake up the confidence on your leader, isn't it? Very often it's the same when Satan attacks a church, a community. It attacks the leaders first. So we have to protect our leader, protect the pastors, elders, deacons, the church leaders. Because they are the first group of people that Satan will try to shake up and shake off your confidence. So this is exactly what the enemy was doing here. Who are you relying on? Hezekiah? He cannot save you. The Rabshakeh stood and cried with a loud voice, and then he even say it in their own language, like someone coming here and start speaking Chinese to us. Don't trust your pastor. Don't trust Pastor Norman. Don't trust Pastor Ansik or any elders. Loud voice in Judea and said, "Hear the words of the great king. Do not let Hezekiah deceive you. He will not be able to deliver you, to save you. The Lord will surely deliver us. The city will not be given into the hands of the king of Assyria. Do not believe your leader. Do not believe that your God can save you." Very often when we face challenge in life, when we face life difficulties, very often the first thing that the Satan will shake us up, make us lose confidence, is in our God. Why is this happening to me? God fell to sleep, or God does not care about me anymore? So the enemy came and he systematically break down this psychological war defense of the people inside Jerusalem. Behold, you rely on the staff of this crushed reed that symbolized Egypt, because at the time they have an alliance with Egypt. So they are hoping that the Egyptians will come and help them to defend the Assyrians. And then so that the next thing after the enemy attack the leaders, attack their God, and then they attack their alliance, the Egyptians. They are nothing but a staff of this crushed reed. You're holding on to them, you can only get hurt. Your hand will get hurt. They cannot help you. Just like people want to attack the NATO, right? The first thing you do is try to break them apart. No, you cannot trust each other. Your alliance is not as strong. The other members of your alliance cannot save you. And then the enemy just move on, breaking down the defense one wall at a time. But if you say to me, we trust in the Lord our God, it is not he whose high places and whose altars Hezekiah has taken away and has said to Judah and to Jerusalem, you shall worship before this altar. So I have to fill you in a bit, because it wasn't described in Isaiah, but described in the other, in 2 Kings 18 and 2 Chronicles 31. So it was described in other chapters, books in the Bible, that after Hezekiah became a king, he revived revived the temple, revived the religion. So Hezekiah got rid of a lot of the altars that worship idols and only leaves the altars for worshiping Jehovah. So this is half true. So it is true that when Hezekiah became the king, he removed all these altars, but they are the altars that worship the idols. But the enemy did not clarify that. So it's just like in the internet news, you have to be careful. Sometimes it's half true. It's the half true that is dangerous. God loves everybody. God loves sinners. It is true, but doesn't mean that God will endorse us to continue to sin. And very often some people make use of that, because God is love. So we have to embrace, endorse even the activities that the Bible says is not acceptable to God. So this is half true. So this guy is good. You have to say that he is good. He's mixing a false teaching with some truth. Now, therefore, let me continue. Now, therefore, come make a bargain with my master, the king. Now, after the threats that he imposed on the people, now he put up the olive and to tempt them. If you have an alliance with us, come and make a bargain. Let's make a good deal. Let's give you a good deal on the tariff. Let's have a bargain. If I have a bargain with my master, the king of Assyria, and I will give you 2,000 horses, and if you are able on your part to set riders on them, how then can you repulse one official of the least of my master's servants and rely on Egypt for the chariots of four horsemen? Now he switched his strategy. Now he's not going to attack on the alliance. But if I give you 20 fighter jets, F-18, you don't even have the pilots to fly them. Even I give you 2,000 horses, You don't have enough trained riders to ride the horses. So how can you fight? You have no weapons. You have no one to use the weapons. Your armies basically does not exist. So now we attack from the leaders to their army. So even the leaders of our army, soldier, officials, can defeat all of you. If you are on the inside the wall of the Jerusalem, I'm sure you start shaking up, you know, our leaders are not good enough. Our alliance cannot, we cannot rely on. And even our army is not as strong as it appears to be. And have I now come up without the Lord's approval against this land to destroy it? The Lord said to me, go up against this land and destroy it. It's the Lord's will for us to come and destroy you. And we just pass a half truth. God did say that I will use the enemies to punish you. But that is because it's under God's sovereignty. It's not because of the power of the enemy. So now the enemy is showing that it is we are just fulfilling God's plan. What a tricky guy, isn't it? And listen, do not listen to Hezekiah, for thus says the king of Assyria, make your peace with me and come out to me and eat each of his vine and each of his fig trees and drink each of the waters of his own cistern. You will have plenty of food if you just abandon your leaders. And I look around. Where are the gods of Hamath? Where are the gods of Sarhaven? Where are they? They are all being destroyed by the Assyrians. So just look around. Who can defend against us? Wow, the entire chapter 36 is about the threat from the Assyrian. There isn't a single word from God. It's a very strange chapter. And I believe there's a reason behind it. God is trying to say that today, when we face all these voices from the world, they're from different angles. Some are half true, some are appear to be true, but worry not. So what did the people do? Do not answer them. But they were silent and answered him with not a word. For the king's commandment was, do not answer him. So what did Hezekiah do? And when the king Hezekiah heard this, he torn his clothes. Doesn't mean that he need new clothes. Cover himself with sackcloth and enter the house of the Lord. When the war, all these noises, voices from the world is threatening us. Today, most of us, I think we are relatively safe in Canada here, but we could not have peace, isn't it? Even though we do not have any physical threat, but some of us cannot experience this true peace. It is not the physical threat that we are dealing with today, it's the voices from around us. It's all this half true, totally false, misled voices that's scaring us, that's causing us depression, that we cannot rest well at night. So what did Hezekiah do? He did not go out there and start debate. Okay, let's debate your 10 points. I got a response for your 10 accusations. I can debate, knock you down one by one. We have to prepare to do that. We have to prepare to do that. But the very first thing that King Hezekiah did was he went to the Lord. He went to God. Tearing up the clothes, meaning humility, grief, and wearing the sackcloth, meaning repentance, and praying, supplication. He seek God at the first possible moment. When we hear all these voices from the world, the first thing is not get panic, depressed, try to fight back, but go to the Lord. go humbly, humbly to the Lord. He said, and bring your weaknesses to the Lord. They said to him, thus said Hezekiah, this day is a day of distress, rebuke and rejection, for children have come to birth and there's no strength to deliver. He's trying to, using the mother, the one who's going to give birth to a baby as an analogy. I'm just like this woman giving birth to a baby. At the end of it, I have no more energy to deliver the baby. He's trying to say that I am so weak. If today you feel that you are weak, come, you come to the right place. Come to the Lord. Just like Hezekiah, he's a king, but yet he come to the Lord saying that I am so weak. Help me. A very well-known missionary, Stanley Jones, he was named by the Times Magazine in one year as the most influential missionaries of his time. So Stanley Jones one time went to Denmark to visit this church, the Church of the Ladies, which housed this very famous sculpture called Christus, the Wonders Christus. So in his writing, he said, did I print it out? I did, okay. As I walk up the cathedral aisle to see the wonderful statue, I was almost overcome with awe. But as I walked along, my Danish friend whispered, you will not be able to see his face unless you kneel at his feet. It was true, for Christ was standing with outstretched arms, but looking down. I knelt at his feet, and only then was the face looking into mine. You cannot really see Christ until you surrender to him. Those who start afar off, swaying him, never really see his face. So bend your knee. Be conquered by him. Surrender yourself. That's exactly what Hezekiah did. He come to the Lord. He surrendered. That's the very first thing. When all these loud voices from the world is bombarding us, we come quietly, surrender ourselves to the Lord. And what he did next, he did three things. First, he came to the Lord. The second, he seek the word of the Lord. And then he sent all his leaders over to see Isaiah, to Isaiah the prophet, all of his religious leaders. Isaiah the prophet, the son of Amos. Isaiah then said to them, thus you shall say to your master, thus says the Lord, do not be afraid because of the words that you have heard. So they came to, why did they come to Isaiah? Because Isaiah is a prophet, and the prophet in the Old Testament represents the word of God. God speaks through the prophets. Thus says the Lord. So Isaiah is representing God. So today we don't need to go to the prophet. You don't even need to come to the pastor. You can go to God's word. You all have a copy on your cell phone as well. The word of God, the Bible. Today we have the word of God. So the very next thing that Hezekiah did, he go to the word of God, to hear the word of God. We have to spend time today to go to the word of God, go to Sunday school, Bible study groups, 101 class. Today we have the 201 class. At home, spend time with reading God's word, where he will reveal his truth, his guidance to you. I did not sleep well last week, one night, so I woke up in the middle of the night. So I had nothing to do, and I don't want to do more Googling. Then I cannot go to sleep for sure. So at this, I went out to my living room. We have a small house, so we don't have another room. So my computer is actually in the living room. So I went out and I worked on my sermons, as any good pastor would do. So I was sitting there, it's very quiet. I don't know whether by WhatsApp. During the day, I'm being bombarded by WhatsApp message. How are you, Pastor Norman? There's tons of WhatsApp message. Then there's WeChat message. Then there's my Yahoo email, my church email. And then there's just message until late in the night. So it was the middle of the night. No one's going to send a message, me. So I sat there, looked through the window. It's dead quiet. Dead quiet. Then I worked on my sermons. I read the Bible. Then I can hear God's word. You need to find time to read God's word. God will speak to you when you are in distress. The voices from the world is loud. We're being bombarded. Find quiet time to read God's word. And then the third thing he did, he prayed. He brought his problems. Hezekiah brought his problems to the Lord. Then Hezekiah took the letter from the hands of the messengers. So after he sent this guy, Rabshakeh, to shout, I don't know for how long, outside the Jerusalem wall, and then he wanted to make sure that everybody heard it, because obviously not everybody is at the wall that day. So the king Assyria even wrote a letter, probably repeat what he said to the people, to Hezekiah, so that you fully understand and remember what we have told you. So, but then this time, so Hezekiah took that letter from the Assyria king, the messengers, after he read it, and then he went into the house of the Lord and spread it out before the Lord. It's very interesting. Why did he have to bring that to the God's house? God knows what is in that letter. God knows what Rabshakeh said outside the wall. But Hezekiah is coming to the Lord. The exact Hebrew word is lay it out. You just take that scroll. I don't know how big that is. Probably quite heavy. You just spread it out in front of the Lord and say that, God, this is not my war. This is yours. When we have trouble, bring it to the Lord and just spread it out to the Lord. Hezekiah did not say, God save me. He said that this is what I'm facing. It's your problem. These are your people. And then he started praying to the Lord. And that's a three-step praying that we can learn this morning. He did not just go and ask God, I need this, I need that, I need 2,000 horsemen. They can ride those 2,000 horses they're going to give to us. No, he just, the very first thing he did, he went and praised the Lord. Instead of coming to the Lord, I'm in trouble now, save me. He said, no, you are the true God. Hezekiah prayed to the Lord. It's the very first thing he did in his prayer. It's a three-part prayer that we can learn this morning. O Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, who is enthroned above the cherubim, you are the God, you alone of all the kingdoms of the earth, you have made heaven and earth. The very first thing he said that you are the glory, you are God. You're God of hosts. You're the God of Israel. You're way above up there. And then he went on to say that you are not only the God of Judea, you are the God of all nations, including that you are the God of the Assyrians. You are the God of the whole earth. And your power is not limited just to your people, the Israelites. Your power is no limit. There's no limit on earth because you are the creator. So the very first thing that Hezekiah did, he did not come, Lord, I am in trouble, save me, save me. He said, you are God. So when we come to pray, before we bring the problem to the Lord, we have to praise him first. It's all about praising. C.S. Lewis said, "It is in the process of being worshipped that God communicates his presence to man." It's not good enough that we come here to join a worship, to participate, to help out, set up a worship. We have to come to worship. It is through worshiping, bowing before him, that God communicates to us, to you. Then he brings his problem to the Lord after the worship. "Incline your ear, O Lord. Hear my heart. Hear my trouble. Open your eyes. Look at me. Look at your poor servant. And listen to the words of our enemy, Sennacherib, who sent them to reproach you, the living God." Now, he brought the problem to the Lord after worship. And he trusted the Lord will save. When we bring our problems, our needs to the Lord, do we truly believe that he can take care and look after us? When we pray, do we truly come to the Lord and say that, "Please listen. Listen to my heart. Please look at me. I'm just a poor, your poor child. I need your help." Do you truly believe that he can help you? That was in a rural area, in a small town. There has been a long drought, and all the crops are dying. The fields are cracked. And all the farmers in this small village town, everybody is on farming, so everybody is worried. So the pastor of this little town gathered a Wednesday night prayer meeting. So he gathered all the people from the village together, and then they have a special prayer meeting. "So tonight, come, we're going to pray for rain, that God will have mercy on us." So everybody came because they were worried. So everybody came to the prayer meeting. So that night, the church was packed with people. And everybody was praying earnestly, "Lord, please give us rain. We need rain." So after the prayer meeting, the pastor looked at one, and then he started smiling. He looked at one, and then he noticed that there's only one little girl who brought along an umbrella. So everyone else came empty-handed. So the pastor said, "The rest of you came to pray for rain, but only this one girl came expecting God to answer. So when we pray, do we expect God to answer? Did you bring an umbrella to church this morning?" Obviously, you did not pray for rain this morning. "But did you bring an umbrella to the prayer meeting?" So last week, we had in our staff meeting, Pastor Penny is not here. So we asked, how many children, kids we should pray for to come to the fun night. I said very affirmatively, 100. So 100. "Let's pray for 100. So all the staff that we pray for, 100 kids. So in the afternoon, Pastor Penny came to me. "So Pastor Norman, how many packages, what the best should I prepare?" I said, 70. "So what? I thought you said we pray for 100. We don't want to waste candy, so it costs money. I think 70, we should be very happy. But I thought you told us to pray for 100. "You're right. I told everybody to pray for 100. So maybe I don't even believe what I am asking for. So let's prepare 100. Let's prepare 100 and let the God wait for God to answer our prayer. So sometimes when we pray, we don't really believe that God will answer, isn't it? Even if you are a senior pastor of the church. Hezekiah, he came to the Lord and he prayed, and then he know that God will answer. Because why? Because of the third reason. The third, in his prayer, we have three steps. The third step is, "Now, O God, O Lord, our God, deliver us from his hands, that all the kingdoms of the earth may know that you alone, Lord, are God." Meaning that He's praying for all this for the glory of God, not for himself, not even for his people. He's praying so that hallowed be thy name. Matthew 6, 8. He's praying that so that the enemy can be defeated, so the glory be to God. He's not praying about himself so that he can be a successful king, so that his people can survive. He prays that so that through God's protection, that God's name will be glorified. If you pray like that, God help me so that your name, not my name, not me, will be glorified, God will answer it. Isaiah said, whom have you reproached and blasphemed? And against whom have you raised your voice and haughtily lift up your eyes? Against the Holy One of Israel. When you are against God's people, Isaiah is saying that you are against God. God is on your side. By the way that they came, Isaiah said, by the same he will return. This is God's answer. And he will not come into the city, declares the Lord. For I will defend the city to save it for my own sake, for my own sake, and for my servant David's sake. Then the angel of the Lord went out in the next chapter, chapter 37, and struck 185,000 Assyrians in the camp of the Assyrians. And when men arose early in the morning, behold, all these were dead. So Sennacherib, king of Assyria, departed and returned home and lived at Nineveh. Then the angel, this was only one angel, not the angels. It's only one angel. God only sent one angel. Not a whole army, only one angel to defeat the enemies so that his name will be glorified. Why did God answer his prayer? Why did God do all this? Because you have prayed. And that is the key word this morning. Because you have prayed to me about the Assyrians threat. Well, often we are bombarded by the voices from the world, but we did not bother to pray. We try to handle the problem ourselves. We try to overcome it with our own effort. We have to learn from Hezekiah. Come to the Lord humbly. Come to the Lord, admit that we are weak. Seek after his words. Pray. Pray by praising him first, by believing in him. Believe that he will answer. You prayed because we want God's name to be glorified. Not we want 100 kids this Friday, not because so that we have more people in the church, so that more kids have a chance to hear the word of God, so that more kids can get to know you, so that your name will be glorified. If you pray that way, give me a good job so that I can glorify you. Make me earn more money so that I can donate more to help God's ministry, not that I can get richer, I can buy more fancy cars. If you pray like that, God will answer. To close my sermon this morning, I want to quote from Psalms 46, 5 to 6 and verse 10, which is an echo of Isaiah chapter 37 that we partially studied this morning. God, Psalms written by David, God is in the midst of her. She will not be moved. God will help her when morning dawns. The nations made an uproar. The kingdoms totters. He raised his voice. The earth melted. Cease striving. Rest. Slow down. Quiet. And know that I am God. Let's pray. Father God, help us this morning to turn your eyes to you. The world is very noisy. We hear a lot of voices from the world. Just because they are loud doesn't mean they are true. Help us to hold on to our truth, to continue to declare this truth so that we can bring glory to you. Help us in this noisy world to quiet down and turn your eyes to you and know that you are God. Help us to find peace in our hearts in challenging time, in the world that's in turmoil, that so that we can find peace in you and know that you are the creator of all. You are the king of all kings. We pray in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.